Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local disaster called off by county officials. TxDOT funding also a subject of meeting. The story was written by Bob Campbell. In deference to Governor Greg Abbott's order relaxing some statewide COVID-19-related restrictions, Ector County Commissioners Tuesday rescinded County Judge Debbie Hayes' March 30th declaration of a local disaster, effective at midnight Thursday. Hayes said drive-through COVID-19 testing had begun at the County Coliseum, with 14 people scheduling tests by calling 432-703-5481 through mid-afternoon Monday, adding that the Emergency Operations Center at the Southside Senior Center would be further downgraded to a Level 4 skeleton crew. In a brief but business-heavy 10 a.m. session at the County Administration Building, the court moved on a 4-1 vote to contribute $145,000 in 10% matching funds to a Texas Department of Transportation project at Schlemmer Field Airport. Precinct 2 Commissioner Greg Simmons explained afterward that he had voted no because the project should have been postponed for later consideration. County Public Works Project Manager David Peck said TxDOT, funding 90% of the $1.4 million project, will have a contractor extend the concrete apron where airplanes park by the terminal and install a medium-intensity approach lighting system to help pilots land during bad weather. Peck said the work might start this summer. Commissioners accepted $4.7 million in TxDOT planned highway work while grousing that neighboring counties are getting much more from the state legislature based on oil production. Precinct 4 Commissioner Armando Rodriguez strongly disapproved of the inequities in the recent TxDOT report, which says Midland County is getting $18.3 million, Andrews County $5.8 million, Glasgow County $5.5 million, Howard County $8.5 million, Martin County $11.5 million, Reeves County $21 million, Upton County $7.2 million, and Ward County $5 million. Quote, "I want to make sure that this doesn't happen again," Rodriguez said. Reporting contacting legislators about the situation, Hayes said that while Ector County does have less oil production than the other counties, it still has considerable oil field-related traffic and consequent wear and tear on its roads. In other business, the court accepted Abbott's order to move primary runoffs from May 26th to July 14th, including the Ector County Republican primary commissioner's runoff between incumbent Precinct 1 Commissioner Eddie Shelton and former City Councilman Mike Gardner. Early voting begins on July 6th. The court moved the early voting sites from Medical Center Hospital Primary Care to Murray Fly Elementary School at 11,688 West Westview Drive and from the Family Health Center to the Salinas Community Center at 600 West Clement Street, and moved the Election Day polls from MCH Primary Care to the Kellis Turner Community Center at 2230 Sycamore Drive. Commissioners also approved an application to Texas State Library accreditation for the county library. They also okayed a $2,160 budget amendment in the sales tax district for contract services. COVID-19 news. Ector County confirmed cases, 78. Ector County negative, 1,044 out of 1,173 tested, with 51 pending. 4 deaths. Midland County, 75 confirmed cases out of 1,519 tested, 6 deaths. Texas, 26,171 confirmed cases, with 300,384 tested. Total Texas deaths, 690. U.S. cases, 981,246 total confirmed, and 55,258 deaths. Find out more online at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site. Here is what the Odessa American calls quick hits. The Sewell family of companies will be wrapping up their Sewell Leadership Live series with David Salyers at 10 a.m. Thursday on the Sewell Family of Companies Facebook page at Team Sewell and at www.teamsewell.com/leadership. Salyers' message is titled, "The Upside to the Downside." Salyers is one of the original two marketing executives at Chick-fil-A. Having worked at Chick-fil-A his entire career, Salyers said the principles of servant leadership and compassion play out in the growth of more than 2,300 Chick-fil-A restaurants around the country. Go online for help. Overeaters Anonymous has scheduled online meetings, phone meetings, and non-real-time meetings 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mondays and 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursdays at oa.org/find-a-meeting?type-o. Overeaters Anonymous is a community of people who support each other in order to recover from compulsive eating and food behaviors. The meetings are free and open to the public. Call 553-1031.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, April 29th, 2020. Section A. AGB donates $15,000 to Odessa Family YMCA. AGB donated $15,000 to the Odessa Family YMCA, which provides aid to essential workers during the COVID-19 pandemic, a press release from AGB detailed. The donation comes through the AGB Tournament of Champions. It will help with the operational cost of the YMCA's 24-hour essential worker child care program at the Joe Pinner Learning Center. In return, the Odessa Family YMCA will be giving a discount to HEB employees who enroll in this program, the press release stated. We are very thankful for this donation from HEB, Odessa Family YMCA CEO President Chrissy Medina stated in a press release. With this gift, we are going to be able to give back to those who are fighting this pandemic on the front line. We are forever grateful for their sacrifices. To learn about the program and how to apply for financial assistance, go to www.odessayMCA.org or call the Joe Pinner Learning Center at 432-334-7971. USGS reports earthquake in Northeast Odessa by Michael Bauer. If you thought you felt the earth move Monday night, you probably weren't the only one. On Monday, the United States Geological Survey, USGS, reported a 2.4 earthquake at around 9:16 p.m. northeast of Odessa. It was the second earthquake to have occurred in the Odessa area in the last week. A magnitude of 3.1 earthquake also occurred near the city April 21st at around 1:29 a.m. According to earthquaketrack.com, West Texas has had three earthquakes in the last week, with a 2.9 magnitude occurring in Van Horn Saturday. The site also lists that there have been 18 earthquakes so far over the last 30 days, one of which included a 5.0 magnitude earthquake from Mentone, March 26th. While there are numerous reasons for the cause of the quakes, Don Blakeman, a geophysicist from the National Earthquake Information Center, which is part of the USGS in Golden, Colorado, says it is fairly common for places like West Texas to experience these small earthquakes. First off, just about anywhere in the U.S. can expect or experience small earthquakes like these, Blakeman said. North Dakota and Florida maybe not so much, but West Texas and the Permian Basin, as well as many parts of Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Colorado, have experienced induced earthquakes. Blakeman said that without extra study, he can't look at the wavelength forms and tell which earthquake is induced and which one isn't. They don't look any different, Blakeman said. It takes a lot of study. What's going on is induced quakes is that they are not caused by fracking, but they are caused sometimes by reinjection of the fracking and fluid in the oil well. So after they frack a formation, that fluid is recovered. It's plumbed back out of the well. That fluid has to be disposed of. You can't just leave it on the ground. You've got chemicals and everything in it. So it's typically pumped back into the well. It turns out that part sometimes causes these induced earthquakes. An induced earthquake is something that is caused by some other activity besides tectonic plate movements. The most obvious ones are from that reinjection of fracking fluid, Blakeman said. There are occasionally other things like filling up a new reservoir. Sometimes that loads up the crust, and we get small earthquakes from that sort of thing. The vast majority of quakes are due to disposal of fluid. But he doesn't believe fracking can be the reason alone for the earthquakes in the area. I would say that they're suspect, Blakeman said, but you have to look a lot more at the studies and history of the timing. Like when fluid is pumped down a certain well in a certain area, because it's not an immediate thing necessarily. When earthquakes began to occur more around Oklahoma a few years ago, many people have been caught off guard, but Blakeman says that seismologists have started to make sense of what is going on. I would say so. I think some years ago it was a surprise to everyone when we started seeing more of this in Oklahoma, he said. Because of that, some regulations have been changing and a lot more study has been done. I think the parties involved are trying to be responsible and need to produce the oil, but we also need to not cause earthquakes. But regardless, Blakeman said that the number of earthquakes in the Permian Basin should be a reason of concern for residents, but added that they should still take precautions. Since we can't predict earthquakes, the only thing people can do, if they're concerned, is they just need to do the safety steps, Blakeman said. Make sure there aren't tall bookshelves that can fall, just the basic things people can do for earthquake preparation. But I wouldn't say that they should be as concerned as someone in Southern California. We're not expecting or seeing that kind of thing in West Texas. But again, we can't predict that kind of stuff. Local and state news roundup. OPD needs help locating person of interest. The Odessa Police Department detailed in a press release that a 44-year-old man is reportedly a person of interest after a man was found dead in an alley behind a gas station in central Odessa. Mark James Morris, 44, is wanted for questioning in connection to the death of 56-year-old Samuel Dean Jones on March 23rd. OPD has released a photo of Morris on its website at tinyurl.com/y9fgfmrl. Anyone with information about Morris' whereabouts is asked to contact OPD at 432-333-3641 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS. An autopsy determined Jones' death was ruled a homicide, a previous Odessa American article detailed. The reported death happened around 8:20 p.m. March 23rd in the alley behind the DK, located in the 1000 block of North Dixie. Officers reportedly saw a deceased man, later identified as Jones. The Criminal Investigation Division, Crime Scene Unit, and Ector County Medical Examiner's Office all responded to the scene. Jones was sent to Tarrant County for an autopsy, which later determined it was a homicide. Dallas Priest, accused of abuse and removed from the ministry. Dallas Roman Catholic Diocese has removed a priest from the ministry after sexual abuse allegations arose in the Colombian Archdiocese where he formerly served. Oscar Mora was among 19 priests suspended last month by the Catholic Archdiocese of Villa Vincencio after the allegation arose earlier this year, the Dallas Morning News reported Monday. The Archdiocese alerted Bishop Edward Burns in Dallas that one of the priests in the Dallas Diocese was among the 19 suspended. Upon receiving word of the allegation from the Archbishop of Villa Vincencio in mid-March, the Diocese of Dallas, out of an abundance of caution and in accordance with its safe environment policy, immediately removed Father Oscar Mora from active ministry, according to a statement issued by the diocese. There have been no allegations of wrongdoing against Father Mora in his 4 years of service in Dallas, and the diocese has not been informed of any civil or criminal charges filed against Father Mora. Jaime Garcia, Mora's Colombian attorney, told the newspaper that the priest denies the allegation. Mora was assigned to the Divine Mercy of Our Lord Catholic Church in Mesquite and the Cathedral Santuario de Guadalupe in downtown Dallas, Dallas Diocese spokeswoman Annette Taylor told the newspaper. Sixth Texas execution delayed as attorneys cite pandemic. Austin. A sixth scheduled execution of a Texas death row inmate has been delayed following the coronavirus spread around the state. Edward Lee Busby's execution had been set for May 6th, but it was stayed for 60 days by the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals on Monday. Busby, 47, was condemned for the 2004 suffocation of a retired 77-year-old college professor abducted in Fort Worth and whose body was later recovered in Oklahoma. While the appeals court didn't mention COVID-19 in its order, Busby's attorneys had argued the execution should be delayed because they and others, including judges and personnel who carry out the execution, could be put at risk for getting the virus if it proceeded. Three other executions that had been scheduled this year were also delayed by the appeals court, while two others were delayed by local judges. ECISD Facebook Live to Focus on Seniors by Ruth Campbell. Focused on Seniors, the latest Ector County ISD Facebook Live is aimed at answering questions about transitioning to college during the time of COVID-19. The broadcast is set for 7 p.m. Thursday and will be on the ECISD Facebook page. We're going to be talking about everything from graduation to senior activities to college and next steps, how do I transition out of this unusual environment into college? We'll talk about scholarships, but there will be a lot of information for our seniors on Thursday night, Superintendent Scott Murray said. Along with Murray, the broadcast will feature two college counselors and representatives from Odessa College and the University of Texas Permian Basin on the chat. UTPB President Sandra Woodley said in a separate interview that the university is temporarily waiving SAT and ACT scores and other admissions requirements since many students did not have access to them. First, I applaud the colleges and universities for thinking differently about the enrollment process this year. I know that OC and UTPB have both been really good to our kids about waiving some of the traditional requirements because our kids did not have an opportunity to experience SAT or ACT due to the virus, and then providing scholarship opportunities, Mary said. I know that UTPB has provided some interesting scholarship opportunities, again, for kids who are struggling financially right now because they may be the only family member with a job. Mom and Dad may have lost their jobs, and so our college and university system as a whole have been very thoughtful. In the event Thursday night, Mary said the district has asked UTPB and OC to have some representatives in the chat area, along with several school district counselors, so that families and students can have their questions readily answered. We want to be able to answer as many of those questions as we can. We'll have multiple people in the chat session responding to questions, and then the questions that seem to be getting a lot of attention, we'll bring those to the forefront and respond to those as well, Murray said. On a separate topic, Murray said Governor Greg Abbott's announcement regarding business and industry in Texas does not impact the school districts. Asked if this could provide a chance for many mini graduation ceremonies, Murray said the district couldn't gather that many people together. With 2,000 students, there would be lots of mini graduation ceremonies. At this point, we still can't gather that many people together. We have three high schools that have smaller numbers of seniors, less than 100 seniors. We have two high schools that have over 700 seniors. That's just a lot with family and friends. That's an overwhelming gathering of human beings to have in one place right now, Murray said. On the subject of daycare for the medical community planned for Zavala Elementary School, Murray said ECISD's license was approved Monday. In that capacity, it will provide care for children birth to 10. When school is open, the campus provides care for children birth to school age. Part of our challenge has been that we are a licensed child care provider, and the emergency orders that were released several weeks ago were for school districts that were not child care providers. None of those affected us because we are a licensed child care provider. The guidance that was given made our license a bit more restricted. It's as if we went in reverse. It made it more difficult for us to actually offer childcare because we were licensed already. That doesn't sound logical, but that's exactly what happened. So we've been caught in the middle of this because of our license. So today, Monday, we were licensed to become an official emergency childcare provider. So we'll talk with our hospitals again and then talk with our employees. Then we'll be releasing that opening date shortly, Murray said. Now that we have this license, we'll combine our emergency license with our existing license and see what we're able to do, and then get our employees in shape and organized, and then we'll be ready to launch. Hopefully I'll have a date for you in the next couple of days, Murray said Monday. To staff the child care center, Murray said ECISD needed the emergency license because it allows them to use existing employees without having to run them through a licensing process to be licensed. It requires pretty extensive background checks, and those background checks cannot happen locally because our local office that does that is closed. And so our local folks are going to have to drive for quite a distance to have the background check done. So we've been able to resolve some of those issues with this license that we received Monday, Murray said. He added that there are companies that conduct background checks all across Texas, but the local office was closed and the next closest one has limited hours because of the coronavirus. Once we reopen as a school, we will no longer need the emergency license. We will resume operating our regular daycare facility, which took care of children from birth up to school age, the age of 4 or 5, he said. Shaq reviews board recommendations. The School Health Advisory Council, SHAC, voted to continue its support of the Human Growth and Development curriculum, reinstituting a half-credit requirement for a health class, and adopting a new curriculum for PE and health, and have one or two representatives from Shaq be part of that. The Shaq meeting met virtually Tuesday to formulate recommendations to the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees in May that could be postponed, however. The Human Growth and Development curriculum is a partnership between the Life Center and Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. The Reverend Don Weeks, who chairs the Shaq, said the language around the half-credit requirement would be around why it is important to have that curriculum in the aftermath of the mass shooting in August 2019 and the COVID-19 pandemic, and that maybe middle school would be the place to start. But the committee is leaving that up to the school board. The third recommendation is to adopt a new curriculum for PE and health and have one or two Shaq members be part of that. Gilberto Ochoa, Assistant Athletic Director for Health and PE, said this next school year is the adoption year for health and PE. He said that happens every 12 to 15 years. It takes about a year to get materials adopted, and we usually have committees, and those are made up of teachers, but there could be a recommendation that we do allow some of our Shaq members to be in that process, Ochoa said. Food Bank gets set for Giving Tuesday. The West Texas Food Bank distributed food Tuesday evening at its facility, and a large line was expected. With the COVID-19 pandemic coupled with the drop in oil prices, Food Bank spokesman Craig Stoker said this is a continuation of the distribution that started about 4 months ago in South Odessa. Because of the expected line, Stoker said they moved it to the headquarters. He said this highlights the fact that society is living paycheck to paycheck. He noted that the first of the month is coming again when rent and car payments are due. If you look at the bulk of the people who live in Odessa, they work in the service industry. They don't work in the oil field, Stoker said. Those in the oil field are dealing with layoffs and cuts in hours, he added. Even if the economy opens back up, it will be 2 weeks before people get paid. And people like hairstylists and barbers won't go back to work until mid-May if all goes as hoped. Some people may not get a full paycheck until the end of May or into June, he said. We're prepared. We're keeping our shelves stocked and watching what happens with COVID and the price of oil. We've got to be aware of that too, Stoker said. On a related note, he said the food bank is hoping to raise $100,000 by next Tuesday, Giving Tuesday now, which will be matched. The $200,000 raised by the match will go in with the $100,000 that has already been donated by Silva and the PBTLA for a potential total of $300,000. Currently, the food bank is still able to provide approximately 4 meals for every dollar donated. So the $300,000 will potentially provide 1,200,000 meals, an email from Stoker said. The community is amazing and has really stepped up to make sure that we have everything we need. From a fundraising standpoint, we're kind of let it all happen and taking it all in with the realization that if oil stays like it is, we may not get any big checks at the end of the year, Stoker said. Obituaries for Wednesday, April 29th. Erica Tapia. Erica Tapia passed away unexpectedly in her home April 25th at the age of 36. She is survived by her parents, Angel and Nora Tapia of Brownfield, grandparents Ramon and Margarita Tapia, her daughters Sadie and Elena Moreno, and son Ace Tapia, and her partner Justin Miklo Burgress, brothers Arthur Jr. De Leon, Gilbert Tapia and wife Marcia, Michael Tapia and wife Melissa, as well as several nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her grandmother, Arminia Campos of Meadow. Erica was born September 9th, 1983, in Dodge City, Kansas, to Angel and Nora Tapia. Visitation will be Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home in Odessa. Services will be Friday, May 1st at 3 p.m., streamed live on the Hubbard Kelly Facebook page. Christy Dawn Martinez. Christy Dawn Martinez was born March 28, 1983, in Wichita, Kansas. She passed away April 23rd in Odessa. She was raised by parents Deborah and Israel Mancha. Christy is preceded in death by her mother, Deborah Mancha, Angie and Lupe Gutierrez, Maria and Lupe Mancha. She is survived by her four children, Abigail Galindo, Maya Galindo, Isaiah Galindo, and Ailia Barrientos, and husband Joe Angel Barrientos, a grandson, her father, Israel Mancha, her sisters, Brittany Mancha and Leslie Sanchez, a brother, Billy Meyerhoff, and one cousin. Visitation is scheduled for Wednesday, April 29th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Death notices. Brenda Gale Cooper Johnson. Brenda Gale Cooper Johnson, 53, of Odessa, died Tuesday, April 21st. A celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Thursday, April 30th, at Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery in the Odessa 2 section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. John Sheridan Adams. John Sheridan Adams, 84, of Odessa, died Sunday, April 26th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Laura Faye Christie Bivin. Laura Faye Christie Bivin, 75, of Odessa, died Friday, April 24th. Funeral service was held Wednesday, April 29th at Acres West Funeral Chapel, and burial followed at the Texas State Veterans Cemetery in Abilene. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Terry Lynn Stewart. Terry Lynn Stewart, 52, of Odessa, died Thursday, April 23rd. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Alexander Cruz, Alex Coloni. Alexander Cruz, Alex Coloni, 22, of Odessa, died Sunday, April 26th. A funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Friday, May 1st at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Lorraine Alice Nelson Moore. Lorraine Alice Nelson Moore, 81, of Odessa, died Sunday, April 26th in Tyler. A graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, May 1st at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Health and Wellness. Basin MD expands access to stress relief. By Trey Atwater. Midland Health. Visit online. The Basin MD app is available at the Apple or Google Play Store. Patients can go to basinmd.com. For more information, go to midlandbhi.org. Basin MD is one more example of how Healthy Minds and Midland Health have collaborated to continue leading the way for health in the Permian Basin. Mental health pertains to us all, and we don't have to feel sick or overwhelmed to be aware of its importance. It is care that can be largely offered without a physical examination, which means psychiatrists, psychologists, and behavioral and mental health counselors are available for digital health sessions. With the new behavioral health expansion of the Basin MD app platform, people can quickly sign up and schedule an appointment. Basin MD is one of the fastest growing platforms for telemedicine access in the nation, with access to nationally accredited healthcare providers who are licensed in Texas. This growth is due in large part to daily expansion of the pool of healthcare providers, innovative improvements in video conferencing technology, and an unprecedented team of staff and local supporting organizations that are genuinely listening to patient concerns. Basin MD offers 24/7 primary medical care from anywhere using your Android or iOS smartphone, tablet, or any computer. Mental health care is currently available by appointment, the behavioral health selection. During your virtual visits, a healthcare provider of your choice can offer diagnosis, treatment, and medication if appropriate. Benefits of a virtual visit. You don't have to find your provider. Basin MD handpicks qualified local and national providers for you to choose from. No more germ-filled waiting rooms. Connect and schedule care with a provider within minutes without leaving the house. If prescriptions are needed, they are sent electronically to the pharmacy of your choice. Up to 4 people can join a doctor's visit from anywhere. This is perfect for parents and co-parents who are unable to attend physical appointments, as well as adults who are involved in the care of their elderly parents during social distancing. Please continue to check the Healthy Minds website for future updates on the continued expansion of Basin MD Behavioral Health Services, as well as additional behavioral health resources. Trey Atwater is Manager of Operations at Healthy Minds. Podcast offers a way to cope through hope. Melanie Sais, Centers. Just weeks ago, it seemed that the sky was falling. A stock market crash, a pandemic, and a historically low oil price had become a part of our new reality. Then, on April 20, the Permian Basin watched intently as the West Texas Intermediate futures fell into negative digits, and with it went our sky. We were collectively stunned. In the fashion of West Texas strength and gusto, leaders in our community provided robust words of inspiration and reassurance. The soothing messages from people we hold in high regard would give us something we desperately needed: hope. While hope helps us derive the courage to believe that we will overcome the struggles, the tension associated with navigating through it all is still very real. Furloughs, layoffs, and bankruptcies on the horizon undoubtedly will incite heightened levels of anxiety. Add to this list the novel coronavirus outbreak, and you have a recipe for a wide army of emotional anguish. At Centers, we recognize that, along with hope, comes the need to have a way to cope. In May 2019, Centers launched our first Centers Solutions podcast hosted by the Recording Library of West Texas. As part of the podcast, Centers invites different nonprofit organizations and people in the community to discuss their initiatives and the mental health connection. Executive Director Christy Edwards serves as the expert voice, bringing many therapy sessions to our listeners. Center Solution is now broadcasting a COVID edition, which serves to provide a resource for people searching for tools to help navigate through specific issues that arise from the current chapter we face in the Permian Basin. KMID-TV will be hosting a Center Solutions COVID edition segment during the Good Morning Basin with Amanda Mason each Thursday beginning this week. We want to coach people through the crisis and remind everyone that mental health is something we all need to care about, said Edwards, a licensed professional counselor. Our latest episode features tools for dealing with the shock and grief ignited by the history-making drop in oil prices. While no one has a blueprint for our experience today, our counselors have coping mechanisms that apply to any crisis we could potentially face. We encourage you to tune in and find some cope through the hope. For more information, Center Solutions Podcast is available on platforms such as SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify. To make an appointment with a Center's counselor, call 570-1084.
Hello, this is Michael again, reading another article from the health section of the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, April 29th. Wash your hands. CDC adds 6 new coronavirus symptoms by Angela Fritz, Michael Bryce Adler, and Maura Judkis, Washington Post. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention added 6 symptoms of the novel coronavirus to its list, suggesting health experts are learning more about the growing number of ways physicians see the virus affecting patients. The symptoms, which the CDC reports could appear 2 to 14 days after exposure to the virus, are chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, loss of taste or smell. Previously, the CDC listed just 3 known symptoms: shortness of breath, cough, and fever. Mario Ramirez, the former acting director of the Office of Pandemic and Emerging Threats under President Barack Obama, told the Washington Post that the frequency of symptoms in new diseases changes with time, even with recurring illnesses like season influenza. The recent additions, he said, reflect the CDC's confidence in stating, "We can reliably say that these 6 symptoms go with COVID-19. Ramirez, who is also an emergency room physician, said that confidence stems in part from the growing number of patients being treated for COVID-19 in the United States. Local trends in symptoms, in conjunction with data from other countries, allow the CDC to present information that captures the right segment of the population for testing," he said. "You don't want to list 20-something symptoms, especially if half the population has those symptoms," Ramirez said. "You're trying to balance targeting the right people to come in for testing, so it must be specific." The additions confirm what patients and doctors have been reporting anecdotally for weeks. In particular, the loss of taste or smell has been known to appear in patients since at least mid-March, when a British group of ear, nose, and throat doctors published a statement amid growing concern that it could be an early sign someone is infected but otherwise asymptomatic. A study of European COVID-19 patients found between 85.6% and 88% of patients reported olfactory and gustatory dysfunctions, respectively. In an Iranian study, 76% of COVID-19 patients who reported a loss of smell said it had a sudden onset. In many of the cases, ansomnia, as it's called, appeared before other symptoms. "It scared the hell out of me," said Valerie Lomas, a 34-year-old champion baker, who feared she would never get her senses of smell and taste back. I could smell nothing for probably 5 days. Lomas was presumed positive for COVID-19 in the midst of writing a cookbook. Smell and taste are intertwined, so some people think they have lost both senses, may have only lost their sense of smell. What happens with loss of sense of smell is you lose flavor, but not taste, said Joe Shapiro, a professor of otolaryngology at Harvard Medical School. Though not listed on the CDC website, fatigue also has been reported in people who have either tested positive or told to assume they have COVID-19 when testing was not available. Hetty Bowman told NBC News the fatigue hit her like a truck. Even reading was exhausting, she said. My bathroom is maybe 15 steps from my bed, Bowman said. I wasn't sure I could get from the bathroom to my bed. Bowman said she had chills but no fever. Early reports of the virus suggested it caused standard respiratory symptoms, though it is extremely contagious and deadly. During the past few weeks, health experts have noted how COVID-19 attacks many organs in the body. In some patients, physicians are reporting a blood clotting complication that does not respond to anticoagulants. Some patients' lungs fill with hundreds of microclots, autopsies have shown. And larger clots can break off and travel to the brain or heart, causing a stroke or heart attack. Evidence from the more than 80,000 coronavirus cases reported in China indicates symptoms in about 80% of patients are mild. The additional symptoms will make it easier for people to know when to ask for a test, Ramirez said, and it could help physicians determine when patients need to be tested or at least be told to assume they have it and to self-isolate.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, my wife had a laparotomy several months ago and she lost the hearing in her right ear, possibly from an antibiotic given intravenous vancomycin. She has had 4 steroid injections into the right ear to no avail. She now has to be fitted with a hearing aid. What is the likelihood of her hearing ever coming back? And why did this happen? SW. Answer. Vancomycin is a commonly used antibiotic in hospitalized patients, and in some infections, it is the only choice for resistant organisms. Vancomycin has several known side effects. It can cause people to become bright red during the intravenous infusion, and it can cause kidney disease, especially if the dose is too high, and especially if vancomycin is given with certain other antibiotics, such as streptomycin. Damage to the ear is definitely a known risk factor of vancomycin. The ear damage is usually on both sides. Ear damage also is more likely at higher doses and is much more likely in older people. In one review, ear damage did not occur in people younger than 53, but 20% of people over 53 had measurable hearing loss. The cause seems to be damage to the nerve to the ear. Most often the damage is permanent. I can't give you any percentages, as the best study I found did not include long-term follow-up.
Dear Abby, niece is shocked to learn reason uncle is in prison. Dear Abby, I cannot believe it. My parents tricked me into comforting a child molester. When I was young, my uncle Dave went to prison. My family told it like this. Dave had an affair with a 17-year-old girl who was pretending to be 18. They made a sex tape, her parents found it, and accused him of rape. He went to prison for life. My parents visit and talk to him regularly, although nobody else in the extended family does, and they always encouraged me to communicate with him. They say he made poor decisions, but doesn't deserve his prison sentence or the family neglect. I felt bad for him, so I willingly joined in phone calls and letter writing. I recently mentioned all this to a friend who is experienced in the legal field. He thought the story sounded peculiar, so we looked up Dave and found out he had multiple counts of sexual assault on a child under 14. In other words, my parents tricked me into regular conversations with a child molester. I'm floored. Should I confront them? If so, what do I say? Should I tell my brother? I want nothing to do with Dave, and I'm horrified that my parents would lie in his defense. Horrified in Oklahoma. Dear Horrified, I can understand why you want nothing to do with this relative. Tell your parents that you have written to me. Ask them why they chose to minimize what your uncle did and encourage you to communicate with a predator. Doing so was a gross betrayal of your trust. I'm not sure how they can justify their actions because it is the job of parents to protect their child. You should absolutely tell your brother what has been happening because it's appalling. Dear Abby, I love my boyfriend. We have been together nearly 6 years, but there are a few issues. The biggest one is his diet. He eats like it's going out of style. The only reason he's not 400 pounds is because his job keeps him active. He has put on 60 pounds since we started dating, and we can no longer sleep together because of the snoring his weight gain has caused. He can no longer stand to be outdoors when he's home because it's always too hot. When we first started seeing each other, he was fit and active. Now he comes home, eats, and stares at his phone. He's always unhappy with his weight, but when I ask him to please eat better, his response is, "Nothing makes me as happy as a cookie." He would rather be a 500-pound blob who never had to move if it meant he could eat cake all day. I feel he has chosen food over me. I'm only 27, and I know I'll have to sleep alone for however long I'm with him. I don't know if I can do that. I make an effort to maintain myself for him, but clearly the favor isn't returned. What are your thoughts? Worrying in Florida. Dear Worrying, if nothing makes your boyfriend happier than eating a cookie, it's time you got to the bottom of what is eating him. When a fit and active person suddenly loses interest in his health and becomes careless about his diet, one has to wonder if he may be using food to cope with painful or unpleasant emotions. Continue to help and support him as much as you can. But frankly, it may be time for the two of you to seek relationship counseling from a licensed mental health professional before your boyfriend's diet causes permanent damage to his health. Jacqueline Biggers Stars. Note, Biggers Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Taurus and a moon in Cancer until 9:06 p.m. when the moon enters Leo. Happy birthday for Wednesday, April 29, 2020. You are very conscious of the image you project in the world, and now your image changes for the better. Super dependable, many count on you, and this year you get a respite and are able to get more spontaneous. There are ample opportunities to add to your income. If single, you decide to stay that way. If attached, your bond grows even closer. Taurus gets you like no one else. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 3 stars. Reflect and take time to rest, and all will be well. Real estate transactions can be confusing, so make sure to go over the fine print. The long-term picture might be brighter than it seems at first glance. Tonight, do not push yourself too hard. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 3 stars. Study and communication bring valuable information your way. Be creative and adventurous in meeting transportation needs. You will solve problems well and be able to recognize the good in companions. Tonight, charitable acts to worthwhile causes bring rewards. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 3 stars. Financial planning will be in your thoughts. Conversations revolve around work, spending power, and earning potential. Take advantage of new options or follow through on a suggestion made by a loved one. Do not be overcome by impatience or anger. Tonight, relax. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. You are highly motivated and can accomplish a lot today. Use humor to cope with forceful people. Steady effort and patience eventually lead to success. Do not rely on quick solutions. Tonight, news might bring a different viewpoint to the fore. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Today brings a need for peace and privacy. You will suddenly enjoy being alone more than usual. A dream or meditation session helps you become your own best friend and to accept experiences from your past philosophically. Tonight, early bedtime. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Interest in old hobbies and group affiliations grows. A change of heart on many levels is in progress. The health and wealth of those you are closest to will improve. Friendships are entering a more nurturing phase for you. Tonight, network and communicate online. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Your image and reputation take on new polish. There is a hint of myth and legend, a larger-than-life quality around you. Enjoy meetings, but keep a sense of balance and perspective. Do not neglect details. Do keep promises. Tonight, celebrate yourself. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Magical workings for growth and personal expansion should culminate in great success. Make the most of the extra attention and faith that others have expressed in you. The positive and negative potentials or passion of every kind are evident today. Tonight, journey in your mind. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Money may be tied up in investments or earmarked for bills. Good or bad, financial matters aren't quite as they seem. A friendly greeting from a loved one who has passed over greets you today. Tonight, wonder on the marvelous. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. Relationships are in a state of flux today. You will charm and attract others. Cultivate new social and business contacts. Be tolerant and patient with partners. It is especially important to listen to what children are saying right now. Tonight, a dinner with loved ones. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 2 stars. Today's moon impacts health conditions in the lives of those near you. Try to avoid contact with those who suffer from a contagious illness. If caring for those who are sick, take frequent breaks so the stress does not wear you down. Tonight, early bedtime. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. A loved one treasures a treat or unusual gift you created. Artistic skills peak now. You will express yourself effectively. Today allows you to indulge this talent and to make plans for a future odyssey. Tonight, postpone decisions about financial matters until next week. Born today, composer Duke Ellington, 1899, comedian Jerry Seinfeld, 1954, actress Michelle Pfeiffer, 1958.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.